So, childcare provision, it's one of the most talked about issues for working families in recent years. More and more families find themselves having to avail of early childcare facilities where both parents may be working. The costs are an issue for parents and as are regulation and standards. So to demystify this industry somewhat, I've decided to bring some practitioners from the creche and childcare industry here into the studio. I'm delighted to be joined by Marianne Quinn. She's the chairperson of the Association of Childhood Professionals. Mick Kenny is a manager of Urlingford-Johnsford Community Child Care and chairperson of the Men in Childcare Ireland Network down there in Kilkenny. And Regina Bushell, she's director of Grovelands Childcare in the Midlands, and they've operate five creches, I'm told. You're all very welcome to the show. I think we'll start with you, Marianne Quinn, chairperson of the Association of Childhood Professionals. Maybe just tell us a little bit about, in a general way, about the business, how it works, some of the issues maybe that your members might be facing.
Okay, I've been in early childhood care and education for the last 20 years, and I suppose, you know, it has grown massively from the kind of small operation in somebody's house, you know, where your children were going to school and you were kind of taking care of, you know, kind of a few others, up to what is a profession now in terms of its, you know, in terms of the regulations, the qualification requirements. And I suppose the state over the years have obviously more and more got involved in it, and as they've got involved and the requirements are more, it's obviously become more costly to run, and you have to run it to a better standard, which is a brilliant thing. But unfortunately, the funding isn't there to run it to that brilliant standard that is required and that children deserve, I mean, rightly so. So I suppose where we're looking at it is that as things are increasing, the government expects the providers and the employees to bear the cost of it, essentially. Yeah. They give an insufficient funding, and that's what makes it so expensive in Ireland.
Okay, and let's look at some of the ratios, because I think that's one of the cost problems, is that you've got to have one adult for every three babies, one adult for every five toddlers, and one adult for every 11 children in preschool. So clearly you're not in control of your own staffing if there's a ratio that dictates what staff you need to employ.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, and even the ratio in full daycare for even this preschool age child is 1-8, so it's even less than the 1-11. So you're not in charge of it. And even their minimum ratios, and a lot of providers would be working to a higher ratio for that, because to be able to deliver what they need to deliver and to be able to, for staff to be able to have breaks and whatever during the day. So you're not in control of that. And you're not in control of the programmes that you deliver. And like when the government gives a contract for the ECC, what people know as the free preschool year, they say this is the amount of money. They never costed how much that actually cost to deliver that, and the amount of money that they choose to give in terms of capitation was less than what a huge amount of the providers were charging at that time. So they already had to cut costs at that, okay, and they had to continue to cut them since. So it's struggling more and more to deliver what is required and what we all know the children want, because we know this is the most important time in a child's life, and you want to be able them to have the best staff, the qualified, experienced staff. You're not going to keep qualified, experienced staff on the level of capitation that the department is giving, because you cannot afford to pay them more than minimum wage.
Okay, let's bring in an operator now, Regina Bushell. She's director of Groveland Childcare down the Midlands. Regina, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
We heard Marian there speak of some of the frustrations in the industry, mm-hmm, that as an operator, as somebody who employs quite a lot of people operating five locations, it must be, you must get despondent when you can't pay the employees, I suppose you can't pay them well. You can only afford, and your pricing then is perceived as expensive, because, and people are saying, well, why is Regina charging me this amount of money? You know, it almost seems like bad value for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Marianne spoke there, you know, about, and you asked her about the ratios, and that is one of the biggest problems. Between 65 and 75% of our income actually goes out on wages.
Right.
That is a huge, you know, a cost to providers there. And, do you know, I mean, there's challenges there in it. It has been looked at as a sector. People who work in it love what they're doing. That's the one thing, that yeah, they're, and they stay in it. A number of our staff are with us for over 10 years. They're there. I suppose their work conditions are good. They're working in good environments. The challenge is to try and get the government to recognise what we're doing day to day, the quality of care and early education. And people talk about the cost of it all the time, and that the cost in Ireland is high. It really isn't that high. what the difference between us and other European countries is the amount of GDP, if you like, that other countries in Europe actually put in. Government support the early years sector, where in Ireland the government are just beginning to support it. And that pressure is coming from the EU.
Yeah.
Because it's actually written into different things that they look at how the government are actually using their finances, and they actually stipulated that Ireland needed to put more into childcare and early education in order to facilitate parents getting back to work. And on that, I mean, one of the things that we find is that parents can actually afford childcare maybe if they have one child. But when they have their second and third children, they're finding it very difficult to have the cost of childcare. And as well as that, it really is putting well-educated working women out of the workforce as well. Because after they have their second child, they might have degrees. And this is a conversation I would have had with many of our parents. Like, there, you have people who are well-educated who then, after their second child, sort of say, well, it's more, I'm better off maybe at home.
Yeah, I have to stay at home because I can't afford to go out to work.
Because I can't afford to go out to work.
Yeah.
So it isn't that we're overcharging. I mean, full daycare costs for a baby can be less than €5 an hour, which is not a huge amount. But on top of your mortgage, it is a huge amount of
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely. Let me bring in another operator. He's Mick Kenny. He's manager of the Urlingford Johnstown Community Childcare, and he's chairperson of the Men in Childcare Ireland Network. Mick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much.
Now, tell me about the Men in Childcare Ireland Network. What's that about?
Well, I suppose the Men in Childcare Network came about around 11 years ago. There was a conference on gender equality within the early years, because at the moment, well, actually, at the time, it was probably less than 1%. But at the moment, there's just slightly over 1% of the workforce are men.
Right.
So the network was established about 11 years ago to support and encourage men into childcare.
So you're flying that flag then for us lads in the childcare business.
No, that's it, because it's gender roles. And like you were sort of saying, you know, with say mums being forced, you know, maybe to stay at home with the kids, but we're actually finding an awful lot of more dads being hands-on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like sharing the gender balance.
Right,
sure. And sort of recognising caring is genderless, really.
You're making the point, Mick, that you see a lot of educated people burdened with a heavy workload and not being paid a sufficient amount. In other words, the economics of running a creche business don't allow for big salaries. Regina told us earlier there that, you know, 70% of the costs are payroll. So, and yet we have the government saying you have to employ these people that are qualified to such a level. So I'm sensing a real dichotomy there around trying to attract, you know, trained and experienced people, trying to keep them, and also trying to pay them within what you can realistically charge out to a parent.
Yeah, because like the one thing I love about working in childcare is we have such a passionate and diligent workforce, you know, that are actually there to work with the
people
children,
who love
work with
what
the families.
Doing.
That's
they
it.
Love
what they're doing,
but
yeah.
The reality of it is, like, they go off, they could spend thousands to go and do their degrees, maybe take 3 to 4 years study, then they start working in childcare. A lot of the time, say, if you have younger staff that maybe might be still living at home, and that it can balance a wee bit. But the thing, like, as soon as you have, like, you're thinking about, you know, a loan or a mortgage, that's totally gone. Pensions gone out the window.
Right.
Like, we're actually looking at a situation, like, even in Australia at the minute, they're actually campaigning for better recognition of workers, because they're going to hit an area where you're going to have a lot of childcare workers who won't be able to afford to retire because they have no pension plan. But these are the people that are looking after, you know, the next generation of citizens. And like Regina was sort of saying, the financial side of it, you know, even when you're looking at investing money into childcare, like there's research done by a Nobel mathematician, Heckman, who sort of looked at, and he said, like, for every, say, euro or dollar invested, there's a return of seven times on that investment. Because when you working with young children, you're talking about early intervention.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
With the likes of picking up on what children need, or even what families need, and it's giving them the best start in life, sort of to help them through, say, their education, to become, you know, I suppose, positive members of society.
It's important to get off to a good start.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, can I say, I mean, what I'd be really annoyed about is, and I was listening yesterday to Richard Bruton, he was talking about, you know, public-private partnership in terms of building, you know, schools, third level and all the secondary and third level. And I was going, essentially, that's what the government has got in early years. They've got this public-private partnership, but it's not a partnership, it's an exploitation. Like, I mean, for instance, you know, there was free preschool year contracts, let's say, that weren't issued directly to providers. You know, they found out about them on social media. I mean, where would that, what business would that happen? But as well as that, that, you know, it's all kind of draconian, as the solicitor would have said, draconian measures where, you know, everything, every single burden is on the provider and they can't afford to meet every one of those burdens.
One of the other burdens is around documentation. And let's just talk about that for a second, because not only are you having to provide documentation to the government, but parents now want to see documentation. Is that right? They want evidence that a child has been minded in a particular way.
Well,
is
absolutely.
That the case?
Yeah, I mean, parents want to know what's happening. They're, you know, in terms of, they know how important these early years are, that the birth to five are the most important time in a child's, you know, lifelong learning, let's say. And if they get that really good, solid foundation. So parents want to know what they're getting, what they're doing during the year, what they're eating during the day, what they're eating, how they're sleeping, all that sort of stuff. So you've got that, and rightly so. Why wouldn't you? You're interested in your child. But then you've got it in terms of, you've got Department of Education Inspectorate, you need paperwork for them. Department of Children Youth Affairs, paperwork for them. Public Compliance, paperwork for them.
Right.
So, and along with your regular accounting, auditing, whatever. So we're finding, we did a piece of research and we found that what the government asked in terms of free preschool year, they asked that you deliver 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week for the children. Now, we surveyed our members and found out how long does it take you to deliver those 15 hours a week. And we found out that it was 25 to 30 hours per week between all the documentation, the cleaning, the maintenance, the whatever, the buying resources and all the rest of it. So it worked out that every, that per child, you were getting about 230 a week, €2.30 a week per child, per hour to be delivering this. And when you kind of consider all that's required and to pay all the staff, like Regina was saying, and like, I know Regina would have a big issue in relation to rates, because there's parts of the creche where you can't make money out of, but you have to pay rates on the size and you're limited in terms of the size. Because
I've some loads of texts coming in, and Regina, you might help me with this first one. Bobby, 1500 per month for two children is crucifying our family. It's a third more cost than our mortgage. I'm seriously considering leaving this country for somewhere else that values family. By the way, I lived in Denmark. If I lived in Denmark on my salary, I would be 12,000 per year better off, even considering taxation. Max of 300 per month for childcare there.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we found. I have visited Italy and I've been in Norway and looked at the different...
what did you see there, Regina?
Well, I mean, for one thing, you'd see how they're in Italy in particular, a place called, you know, Ventura Reggio Emilia, which is famous for its childcare. It is fully and totally supported by their government, and they have a wonderful system over there. It's world renowned for the quality of the care and early education that that they have. And this is the whole thing. Like, everybody's looking at Europe and saying, oh yeah, the cost of childcare in Ireland is so expensive, and it is, as I mentioned already, it is because of the lack of investment. Can I just say, because it's an important thing, the tech system, our childcare system, is there. The parents can avail of €145 per week towards the cost of their childcare for 5 days if they're on a medical card. And a lot of parents don't know about that, and the uptake of it, I believe, has been quite poor.
So just explain that again for us.
That if you are a parent on with a medical card, you can, I think, probably go to your county childcare committee. Probably would be the best thing to do, and they will tell you whether or not that you would be able to claim that allowance. But it is €145 per week.
Which is significant to somebody who doesn't know about it, and they might be entitled to it.
And this is part of the thing that we have found, that the schemes, like the ECCE schemes, there are over 60,000 children using the ECCE scheme, but we still find people who will come into us maybe in August in December, who don't even know that scheme is there.
Okay. Do you want to say anything about the bureaucracy and the level of paperwork? Are you frustrated by it?
Yeah, I suppose I'm managing two childcare centres, and like a couple of years ago, we were asked to take over a second centre in Johnstown, and I suppose you sort of think that was a great idea at the time, because you're doing one, you have to do with the other. Just doubles it all.
Is that right?
It's unbelievable.
Two and two really equals four, not three.
A lot of us got into childcare because we love working with kids, but like literally every day, it's like you're stuck in the office. You're dealing with general requests from the Department of Children. You're trying to keep up on regulations. Like even sometimes, like we, I know Regina runs the tech. We run subvention, which is for sort of low income families.
Mm-hmm.
But what we find is with the subvention scheme, sometimes, you know, there's this changing of the
goalposts.
Subvention would be for sort of families that might be in receipt of like a medical card or a social welfare payment, or they're back to education or this, and there's a few lists of it. And it actually, depending on what tier you're on, say there's like there's different tiers of grants you can receive. You can actually, it subsidises the cost of full daycare or part time or sessional. But what we find sometimes is the government are continuously shifting the goalpost. But the thing is, they're not telling us.
Okay.
So the thing is, we're coming. It's yeah. like it's a bit like the Monty Python. It's like they're making up as they go along. Right. Sometimes, do you know.
Marianne, I just want to give the last word to you about what really the industry should really be doing to make it a better, I suppose, place to attract people. Because as Mick says, it's a lovely place to work, and it doesn't seem to be getting the credit it should be getting to attract more people into the business to work in it. What would you say could be done?
Well, it doesn't. And I lecture in Cork IIT on an early years programme, and I was saying to the students, this is a profession that is worth fighting for, because it will give so many rewards in terms of for seeing the children and the parents' support at this early stage. But the actual fact is that more and more they can't do it. So what we're saying is that what we need is the whole profession to unite and to kind of take on the government and say, actually, do you know what? You're exploiting us to deliver a service that you cannot deliver without us. And we need the parents to kind of on board, because we've got a lot of parents who kind of say, oh, you know, for sessional services, oh, enjoy the summer now, isn't it great for you to be off? But actually, isn't it great for you to be off going down the dole office signing on, or the providers not being able to sign on because they're self-employed? So that's the reality. And a lot of people don't realise that. Parents don't realise that. So we know that early childhood care and education is hugely important for the child and for the families to get top quality. But we know that that can't happen without qualified experienced practitioners. So we need those to be looked after so that the whole system can benefit.
Okay, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you all. It's a fascinating industry. Big thanks to Marianne Quinn. She's the chair of the Association of Childhood Professionals. Mick Kenny from Arlingford Johnstown Community Childcare, and Regina Bushell, Director of Groveland Childcare down there in the Midlands. Keep doing what you're doing, folks, and keep flying that flag for the children.